This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasoline. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now your host, Rick Moore.
And good morning, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, dogs and cats, goats and ducks. It is right here at 11 o'clock on our lovely, friendly WNRN. Also now on Lovingston's new 94.7. That's right, Lovingston's 94.7. My friend Sarah can hear us all a little bit better. Today, as we get started, we do want to thank Blue Ridge Graphics for allowing us to join you on the airwaves. Today's programming here, Blue Ridge Graphics, Meade Avenue at East High Street, serving Charlottesville with custom t-shirts, sportswear, and professional graphic design since 1979. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, and at brgtshirts.com. Interesting program today. You're going to want to stretch out those muscles on your dialing finger. Don't want to pull any, don't want to have any problems. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS is the toll-free, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS, 979-0919 for the Charlottesville and Albemarle fans. In fact, that's what we're going to be talking about today with our guest, Bob Gibson. Bob, how are you?
Great, Rick. Glad to join you. Always listen to your show and enjoy joining you on Sundays.
Well, and it's always nice. I like to thank everyone who comes in and donates part of their time, and especially those who come in more than once. It shows that I didn't scare you away the first time. Bob Gibson, is your official title? I call you the political columnist from
political
the Daily
writer,
Progress.
Political writer.
But you do other topics as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can't work in a newspaper and just do one thing. So we do a lot of local news.
And my topic for today's program is Charlottesville, for lack of anything better. Because what we're going to talk about today is some of the conversation that's been going on in I want to say the last several weeks, but actually it's been going on for much longer than that, about Charlottesville and Albemarle becoming one area, with, instead of dividing services and taxing for them and setting them up separately, doing so in a singular manner. So we've had Bob come on to talk about it, because a lot of the local city councilors from Charlottesville, the supervisors from Albemarle, I think one maybe from each side have brought this up. Is that right?
Well, I think a few more than one from each side. This is something that is a perennial issue. It comes before the voters in real political terms maybe once a decade, but it's been a constant theme of most of the candidates for Charlottesville City Council. It's been a constant theme of many of the Albemarle supervisors. And Charlottesville and Albemarle really do cooperate with each other in ways that a lot of communities don't. So, you know, we are one community here. It's just a question of whether the governments ever decide to share and consolidate more services. I think merger is a long way off. I don't think we're going to see Charlottesville and Albemarle merge into one government anytime soon.
But there are ways, and we'll get into this throughout the hour, of selecting particular services and organizations that we could put into one unit to serve the city and county rather than continuing to have them in two separate and two separately taxed units.
Well, if you look at the city and the county, we are one community in many ways. The business community is one community. There's one chamber of commerce. We are one economy. People move across city-county lines without even knowing where they are most of the time. And that's the way Charlottesville and Albemarle and actually some of the surrounding counties function. We are a region, an economic region, and a cultural region. And there are differences, and thank goodness for that. You know, there's still some rural land out there in the county. Thank goodness for that. But, you know, if you're serious about talking about the issues of growth, of poverty, of affordable housing, you can't do it on a Albemarle only or a Charlottesville only basis. These are issues that require cooperation.
Well, I want to start, which to me is one of the basic foundations, whether it's a cornerstone or something. But to me, this is something that I need to understand a little better, and so I assume that many of the listeners do as well, to fully participate in today's conversation. I read a lot about the revenue sharing agreement between the city and the county. And I typically, when the conversation comes up about combining, whether it's combining into one community, government-wise, or whether it's, I know that lately there's been some conversation about, separating the ambulance squad and having something separate there. We always seem to come back to this existing revenue sharing agreement. I'm curious as to what that is exactly, where it came from, and how it plays into the conversation.
Well, it's really part of the pattern of cooperation that has grown over the years between Charlottesville and Albemarle. It used to be that the two localities, the two governments, were more at odds with each other. And one reason they were more at odds was because there was a constant threat of annexation by the city of county land, because the city could argue in court that it could provide better services for residents of the county near the city. And every decade or so, you know, 1963, there was a big annexation. That's when my neighborhood, the Woolen Mills, came into the city of Charlottesville from Albemarle. That's also when Greenbrier came in the 60s. So every 10 years or so, the city would gobble up a part of the county, and there'd be a long and expensive annexation fight in the courts. They decided to put an end to that and to sign an annexation ending agreement, which led to revenue sharing. And there's a complicated revenue sharing formula that has to do with the retail sales and values in each community. And the county, which has larger retail sales now, sends money every year to the city coffers, and there is now no threat of annexation of county land. So,
and now the city would threat to annex part of the county because the tax that they would get from that property coming in was more than the cost of any services that they would provide?
Yes, the city would go to court and say, we can provide better services to the area north of Charlottesville, and it's already urban, and they need these services, they want these services, we can provide them better. And the court would routinely hear these cases and often grant the annexation requests of the city. So for starting in the 20s, actually it goes back many, many decades, there were annexations of county land by the city of Charlottesville. Well, that's a very inefficient way of cooperating. In fact, it's not a way of cooperating. It's a way of forcing people from one area into the other. And they wisely decided to put an end to that.
All right, so now the county pays the city
several millions. Well, there's an agreement in force. And part of the agreement has never really been carried out, and that's the part that we're talking about now. That's the part that requires the city and county to sit down and talk together about sharing, consolidating, and merging services. Now, it doesn't require the city and the county to merge completely with each other, and that's something that, I think is a long way off. But it does require the city council and the county board of supervisors to get together and talk about where efficiencies can be made and where services can best be shared over the entire region. And I think city-county cooperation is something that a lot of people in both governments are willing to talk about, especially right now. It seems to be a good time.
Well, why now? And because it seems like, and again, I'm the ignorant guy on many things, but especially on this. Why now? Because it sounds like, from what I heard you say, that they've avoided it.
Charlottesville and Albemarle have a fairly good history over time of cooperating with each other, and it's gotten better over the last 10 years. The current city council and the current county board of supervisors are probably on the best terms that cities and counties have been in recent years. It used to be a lot more common for the city and county to get into these little fights with each other over different issues. And we saw a little bit of that over the fire service, rescue service, as the city and county have sort of decided to carve out their own services, and they haven't yet figured out exactly how they're going to include CARS, the Charlottesville Albemarle Rescue Squad, and other rescue services into that agreement. So there have to be talks, and there will be talks there. But I think affordable housing is right now one of the largest issues in Charlottesville and Albemarle. And the group of faith-minded, faith-based people who came together in contact decided to make affordable housing and public transit their top two issues. And 1,500 people gathered at the Charlottesville High School Performing Arts Center and decided to push the city and county government to do more to provide more affordable housing in both regions. And I think that is the impetus, more than anything else right now, for city and county getting back together and talking about things that they've agreed to talk about in this revenue sharing arrangement. You know, they can negotiate the county's payment to the city down if they decide to share certain services. If they cooperate more, it doesn't have to be a monkey on the county's back that they pay several millions of dollars every year to the city.
So how does it affect county residents? I mean, what's going on now?
County residents are as interested in affordable housing and in growth patterns as city residents are. These problems can only be dealt with on a regional basis. The city can't solve poverty or affordable housing or growth by itself. The city has to do this in cooperation with the county and probably other counties in the region.
But you mentioned that they got together at the Performing Arts Center as a group. Right.
That was a church-based group that decided we are going to hold the city and county fathers and mothers' feet to the fire and come up with a couple of issues that we think are important as Christians and as people of faith. There were Muslims and there were Jews and there were other people of faith at that meeting. And they had city council and the entire county board of supervisors there. Just about. I think there may have been one person missing from each. And they asked them a bunch of questions about, will you commit to immediately expanding the transit system, the bus system, so there will be better bus service. There will be Sunday bus service. There will be bus service south of Charlottesville to the new county office building down there and Southwood Mobile Home Court. And those changes have already been put into place. The city and county are talking now of merging their bus systems. You know, the county is going to go in with the city on more of a merged bus system than it currently does, with better service into the county, with more headways. They're even talking about the possibility of having free transit because the city determined that for $500,000 a year, they could provide free bus service as the fares pay so little of the freight of the operation. So these are the kinds of things that people are now talking about over city and county lines. Transportation and affordable housing are two issues that neither county or city can solve by itself.
Is there one person or is there a leader from the group as a whole, county, city, or from each side who's, you know, taking the initial steps forward more so than others?
Well, actually, there are people on both sides who are doing this. I think Mayor David Brown is one person who sort of quietly led the two sides together, but County Supervisors Chairman Ken Boyd has voiced support for that. The mayor has talked to Dave Wyant out in the county. I think the Democratic candidates for the Board of Supervisors have talked about it, and I think there's general agreement that some of these things are best talked about, city and county sitting down together and deciding where efficiencies can be made in providing better service.
Caller, are you there?
Yeah, I would ask that Mr. Gibson correct his comments. The county has no current bus system.
The
county and the city are thinking about merging their bus system.
The county has a stake in the city's
correct.
Bus system.
That's correct. Thank you.
All right. So when you say that they have a stake in the bus system, you mean that that's part of the revenue sharing agreement that they pay for part of whatever the overall expense is?
The county has entered into talks with the city to extend more bus service into the county. The county currently has negotiated for bus service as it should for places like Pantops and out to PVCC and other places in the county. But the bus service isn't really that extensive in the county right now, and the County Board of Supervisors is talking to the city to expand the Charlottesville transit system more into the county and for the county to become a larger partner in this.
979-0919 if you'd like to dial up and make a comment, ask a question. Bob Gibson here from the Daily Progress as we talk about ways that Charlottesville and Albemarle can get together, save some money, combine services, the future of planning a merger with Charlottesville and Albemarle. Bob, we were talking beforehand, so 979-0919, dial up 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. We're talking before we came on about the fact that yesterday was the Democratic gathering to identify the three nominees for Charlottesville City Council.
And there were some surprises there. I think a lot of people were surprised to see Satyendra Hooja, the longtime city planning director.
Why is that? Because, you know, I kept reading that and about how people didn't think he was going to make it, and current councillor Kevin Lynch didn't list him as one of the three people he was supporting. The guy's been involved with the city for three decades. He gets the, anytime someone talks about how successful the downtown mall has become, his name is at the top of the list.
Well, he was not the father of the mall, but he was certainly the person who city council charged with implementing the plan for the mall. So when city council decided in the early 70s to explore a pedestrian mall, and when they voted in 1974 2-0, with Mitch Van Heerys and Charles Barber being the two votes in favor of the mall, the other three councilors recusing themselves because of potential conflicts of interest, they put their planning director, Satyendra Hooja, in charge of planning how the mall would come about, and you know where the trees would go, and how it would be developed, and how it would be supported over the years. And if it was a rocky start, you know, there were a lot of skeptics about the mall when it was first put in place.
But now, I mean, if you want to talk about since, it seems like since 95 or at some point, you know, pick your date as a more of an expert on the topic, but it seems that now he gets a major part of the pat on the back.
He does.
When it comes to why is everyone so surprised that now he wants a different role in city government, and they're surprised that he's one of the three people getting nominated to do so?
Well, I don't think people were shocked that he was nominated. I think people were very surprised that he finished first. He finished ahead of Mayor Brown. He finished ahead of Holly Edwards, who everyone thought would get a nomination. Because, you know, the city Democrats, when they get together, they like to put a black candidate on their ticket, and they did yesterday. Holly Edwards is a very bright new face in city politics. She's fairly well known in part of the community, and she's becoming well known throughout the city now. Satyendra Hooja was the best known and had the longest resume of the candidates, other than Mayor Brown, perhaps, because he's been on council for 4 years. But you know, Satyendra Hooja has been in the news since he arrived here with a degree in planning from Michigan State University back in 1973, and became the city's planning director. And he really put the plans for implementing the mall in place. He had a lot of influence on how the city developed its trails and parks programs. He had a lot of influence in the green tree initiatives that the city is taking. The city is now trying to improve the numbers and percentages of area covered by green, by tree canopy.
And all five of these candidates had a major part of their campaign had to do with what we're talking about today.
They did. In fact, there was very little rancor at yesterday's convention. It was one of the smoothest conventions that I've witnessed here in many, many years. So.
One set of voting, right?
Only one ballot, and no one was particularly against any of the candidates. You didn't hear people saying, you know, we've got to have so and so because we don't want so and so. There were five candidates that had a lot of support there, and it was just that Hooja had spent more than a month on the phone every night calling friends. And over 31 years of working for the city, he had a lot of friends, and a lot of them came out for him.
And just a quick question on this, because I don't want to get too far off track. It's not like a national Democratic convention where there are a set number of people, right? You have 1,000 people or all that can show up, and it's who gets the largest percentage. It's as many people as show up by the time allowed.
Right, but they had to divide themselves by the 8 precincts that everyone lives in Charlottesville. And then the votes were weighted according to how many people were in each precinct. So if there were 3 people from Tonsler and Tonsler had 7 votes, then each of those people would have had 2-point-something votes. Actually, a lot more people turned out from Tonsler than used to in the convention yesterday.
All right, 11:21 here in the wake-up call. Feel free to dial us up, make a comment. We'd love to hear from the people of Charlottesville and Albemarle County on the topic today. With Bob Gibson here in the studio. Markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Cloudy and rainy today with some isolated thunderstorms. High 65 to 70. Rain tonight. Lows 55 to 60. Mostly cloudy with a slight chance of showers tomorrow. Highs 80 to 85. Right now it's cloudy with some rain across the listening area in the valley. 68, 62 in Lynchburg, 68 in Richmond, and 62 in Charlottesville.
You know, your caller was right.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
Hang on a second, Bob. Let me thank everyone who supports WNRN, such as 45fix.com. If you have a home improvement project, there's another way to find a contractor. It's 45fix.com. From remodeling to repair projects, immediate no-obligation estimates are available anytime. That's 45fix.com, the number 4, the number 5, and the word fix.com. And WNRN reminds you that registration for summer programs at UVA Intramural Sports is going on now. From 8 a.m. until 5:30 p.m. at the Aquatic and Fitness Center, 450 Whitehead Road on UVA grounds. You can sign up for tennis, swimming, softball, and soccer, as well as for yoga, caving, rock climbing, and other activities. Online info and registration forms are at the virginia.edu/IMS site. Bob, about the caller?
Oh, you know, your caller was right to point out that that Albemarle County has never had its own bus system. In fact, it wasn't until the 70s, I guess, that's about the time when the city went into the bus business. There had been Yellow Transit, which was J.T. Graves' operation, operated Yellow Cab, and there had been Yellow Transit buses throughout Charlottesville, and the city made that a public system, bought out the private system, and went into business with federal subsidies 30-some years ago, and has been expanding that program ever since, and finally, in some reasonable ways, out into parts of the county. So the county has become a player and wants to be a partner now in the regional transit system.
Now, I'm curious. One of the articles that you've written in the last month, in the month of May, you had a couple that I read through and made notes on, and pretty much focusing on this topic in particular. One of them listed the 4 reasons never to merge.
You know, it's funny. The city and county have always had mixed feelings about each other. The city doesn't want to lose its name. The county doesn't want to lose its name. That's one of the reasons that merger is a hard thing to bring about, and I think we'll be a ways off. You know, the logical thing to call a merged city and county would be Charlottesville, because that's the community that people generally consider this
right.
to be.
Nobody's
But there are many
street
people,
address says Albemarle County, doesn't
right,
it?
Right, no. And most people in the county, or many people in the county, have a Charlottesville address. There are also Scottsville, Crozet, Whitehall, you know, all the way out to Keswick and Gordonsville. And people don't want to lose their individual identities, the places in which they call home. And there are many, many, many more people in Albemarle County than there are in Charlottesville. There are just over 40,000 in the city, and there are over 90, 95,000 in the county. So it would be very difficult, I think, just in if you're looking only at name, to have a full merger. But I think that's not the reason that merger is far off. I think the reason is that we have two professional bureaucracies, one in the city and one in the county, and it's very difficult to have them share everything. They consider themselves separate entities. They are politically separate entities, and they're going to continue to operate as separate entities, although increasingly with some cooperation. But the other reason, I think the biggest reason, and the reason it's been hardest to talk about, is race. And I think that has to do with the school system or the school systems. We have separate school systems in Charlottesville and Albemarle. There's some joint programs they run. K-Tech is a good example. But Charlottesville is about 50-50 in terms of black-white makeup of its student body, and the county is much less. It's probably 20% black. And you look at the two school systems, and they're both pretty good school systems, public school systems, but there are schools that have had trouble, and there are schools that have a lot of poor kids, and some of those are in the city, and people unfairly, I think, they won't talk about race as an issue, but I think there's been a tendency of some people in the county to say the city schools are inferior because these test scores are lower and these schools have a lot of poor kids in them. And really, the city has a lot of programs that the county doesn't have in terms of AP courses and fine arts programs. The city has a pretty darn good school system, I know, because I've had three daughters go through it. And there are a lot of kids in the county whose parents pay to have them come into Charlottesville, pay tuition to go to Charlottesville Public Schools because of the extra offerings. But the image in the county is not uniformly of good schools in Charlottesville. The image in the county is, oh my gosh, there are a lot of low test scores at this school and that school. So, you know, I think that has been a bar. And the fact that race is not discussed in our community in an open way, I think is a bar to the city and county sharing services that might be best shared in education.
Although you're welcome to share them today, dial us up, ask Bob a question, make your comment, 979-0919. I'm curious, so race being a major factor, whether discussed or not, is merging the school system not necessarily likely, but a good idea?
Well, I think there are programs that the schools offer that there is potential for really a lot of improved service if the city and county were to work together more. Perhaps some of these programs are something that the city and county are about to talk about. For example, the Murray School is a county school. It is an alternative, non-traditional high school. It's a good school, and Charlottesville doesn't have anything quite like that. And there are students who, you know, don't learn in the normal ways in classrooms who perhaps could benefit from that kind of non-traditional program, especially in Charlottesville schools today. So I think that the city and county are going to talk together about merging and sharing more, consolidating some services without going into a city-county merger. You know, there are school systems that are shared across city-county lines in Virginia. James City County and Williamsburg share a school system. It's a quite good one. Lexington and Rockbridge County share a school system. It's a quite good one. You know, Charlottesville has pretty good schools, as is recognized around the Commonwealth. Albemarle has pretty good schools. I think they could each gain if they shared certain services.
You know, if you had to rank it 1 to 10, what do you think is the likelihood of that happening? Not necessarily next year or even in a decade, but through conversation?
I think the likelihood is good, but they're going to cherry pick and find things that are easiest to share and share those. And they're not going to tackle all the hard issues and get down to, you know, making sure that the kids who are problem, who come to school unprepared, have a joint program. I think that's going to be harder for them to put together.
Well, even if they cherry pick, what is the time frame for some of these conversations to start happening? And I recognize that there are some basic things going on, such as the Democratic contenders brought up topics during their campaigns. And I know that I've read an issue or two from your articles or others about supervisors, but you know, when are they really going to sit down and have this conversation as a group?
I think the contact group of faith-based community advocates is pushing the city and county to sit down and talk with the university as well, include the university. So I think there will be an affordable housing.
Is that where they're going to start?
I think they're going to start with affordable housing. I think that is sort of at the top of everyone's list right now, because the housing crisis is so severe for so many people, so many of our teachers, police, fire, people who the community depends on to provide services find it very difficult to find adequate housing.
Do you, make it even more or possibly more troublesome because obviously affordable housing bleeds over into Green and Nelson and Fluvanna?
All those counties are involved whether they want to be or not, because transportation and housing patterns are linked, and planners are increasingly looking at protecting parts of Albemarle more realistically, I think, and they want those parts to be protected from too much growth. And I think they're going to have to look at these affordable housing and transportation patterns when they talk about growth issues. It just has to happen.
Caller, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
All right.
Rick, I had a quick question for your guest. He made a reference to tuition, essentially Albemarle residents being able to send their children to Charlottesville schools to pay a tuition. And my question is, do we know what the cost of that tuition is, roughly?
Well, I think it used to be in the hundreds of dollars a year. I think it may be in the thousands now. I think it's risen in the last several years as more and more. I think there's several hundred county students in the city schools.
Bob, let me follow up on that. Caller, hang on for a second. Caller, do you have any kids?
I do. I've got a 1-year-old and a 3-year-old. And as a Charlottesville resident, I guess it begs the obvious question. Am I somehow subsidizing Albemarle kids' education a little bit, with my property taxes?
I just got a note here that the actual fee, and this comes from someone who is doing this as a family, $1,200.
$1,200, yeah,
per
that's about
student.
Right. It used to be half that, I think, and I think it's doubled.
I mean, does that seem does that seem a little bit on the cheap? I mean, thinking about, are they getting a pretty good deal at $1,200 a year? And am I paying for that, I guess?
Well, if they're already complaining about the fact that they don't want to get together and share the school system because the Charlottesville schools aren't that great, if that's sort of
the unstated sort of thing. Occasionally you'll hear real estate people say, oh, you want to buy a house in the county because the county has better schools. I look at these test scores. Well, that's a rather simplistic way of looking at things, because the city has excellent schools with better programs in some areas, and the county has a lot of kids who want to take advantage of those programs and are willing to pay the tuition to come in and go to school in the city. It depends on the student whether that's a value or not. It depends on whether they're going into a fine arts program, an orchestra program, a different language program. The county's catching up in a lot of these areas, or trying to.
All right, 11:34 here in the wake-up call with Bob Gibson from the Charlottesville Daily Progress. Feel free. That was a great question. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. I want to thank Five Guys Burgers and Fries for their support today. Five Guys serves America's standard fresh and handmade from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m., and they're open until 10 Fridays and Saturdays. That's Five Guys Burgers and Fries behind the fountain in the Barracks Road Shopping Center, in the Hollymead Town Center, and now on the Downtown Mall, all in Charlottesville. On the web, it's fiveguys.com. That's fiveguys.com. That points it out to me just as I'm looking here at this. Barracks Road Shopping Center is in Charlottesville. Hollymead Town Center is in the county, although the address listed is in Charlottesville.
In a lot of ways, we are one community, and a lot of people realize that. And I think the fact that we're two separate governments is somewhat unique to Virginia. Virginia has the only system of its kind in the country in which a city is completely separate from a county. And Virginia has had to adapt to that system and share services over city and county lines. And regionalism is growing without regional governments. I don't think a lot of people want to see a regional government. They don't want to see you know, Charlottesville and Albemarle governed by something larger than them. But there is an ability to have city and county governments cooperate, and we're seeing much more of that and much more talk of that than we had in the past. In the past, the city and county were much more at each other's throat. I think cooperation is the way we're going.
All right, so we were talking about the fact that housing will be one of the first topics.
And that's not an easy one. Affordable housing is nothing that the city or county government can solve by itself.
So what is the step? I mean, just sitting down and having, there are five counselors, there are six supervisors. So having 11 people sit down and talk, and I'm sure that there will be a committee or two created to look into ways and means for
Also have the state legislators, and they have been very involved in this. David Toscano and Cree Deeds, for example, have sponsored legislation to allow the city and county to look at housing in new ways, affordable housing in new ways with new programs.
Such as?
There are different ways now for the city to provide some tax relief for people who live in below a certain income level that hadn't existed. The state is sort of opening its allowing more regional cooperation than it had allowed in the past. It's little known that the city and county now have the ability to form a transportation authority because they haven't really talked about it, but they have that permission from the state now. You know, Virginia being a Dillon Rule state, if it isn't explicitly laid out to the city and county, the power resides still in the state government. And the state government is now sort of in a little bit of a creeping fashion, allowing the city and county or cities and counties to do more together.
All right, 11:37 with Bob Gibson, political columnist and writer of many other items from the Daily Progress here in the studio today as we talk about Charlottesville and Albemarle gathering together to save tax money on combining services. Bob, I'm curious if you can, in some easy manner, identify each of the supervisors and the counselors and, you know, who might be holding back a little bit on this topic.
Well, it isn't holding back as much as it is putting things at the front of an agenda. You can only do so many things at one time. And the city council candidates who were nominated yesterday by the Democrats, who probably are in the best shape to be elected on November 6th, because right now there's only one independent, Peter Kleeman, running, and he's running as an independent former Democrat for Change, who almost got a city council nomination as a Democrat in 2000, but was beaten out in a convention by Meredith Richards, who served another term. So I think you have certain city and county leaders who have put items at the top of their agenda that require city-county talks and require city-county cooperation. Now, they've done a pretty good job sharing water and sewer services, although the costs of those are about to go up significantly because they're about to expand the city-county water supply. You know, we're about to lose some land out at the Ragged Mountain Reservoir because they're going to add 40 feet to the top of the dam. And a lot of people hike those trails out there and are going to be sad to see those trails go around Ragged Mountain. That's an issue that hasn't been much discussed, but the city is now looking with the county for land to compensate the city for, you know, that's city land out there in the county. There are little pockets of city land in the county, as at Penn Park, which is a city park. You know, Darden Town across the river is a shared park, city and county. Another example of how the city and county have worked more recently to share their services in parks and recreation. But this Ragged Mountain Reservoir land is city land, and the city is looking for some compensation now that the county and the city are going to flood more of that land, take those trails away. They want to find some land that can be put into recreational use elsewhere. And there's talk of a new 400-acre park down near Biscuit Run. So I think we're going to see, for the first time in a while, some expansion of parklands in the county. And it would be a good idea for this to be shared city and county cooperative parks and recreation ventures rather than have one locality try to pay for it entirely by themselves.
or 11:40 here on the Wake Up Call.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, look at those who use their bicycle for local transportation and how our area is pushing the bicycle and pedestrian master plan. Farmers switching from tractors to ATVs, but are they any better, any safer? And although the fearless consumer has retired, The Hook premieres The Tough Customer, another savior for those of us needing retail help. The Hook, loving the city and the county equally. And let's thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for their support today. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports, headquarters for kayaks from Wilderness Systems and Perception. Blue Ridge wants to get you on the water this summer and is offering on-water demos and classes through UVA's Outdoor Rec. Blue Ridge also has everything you need for walking or running any trail. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports is in the Barracks Road Shopping Center in Charlottesville and in Richmond, plus at brms.com. Mr. Gibson, I want to ask you, you were talking about water.
Water is one of the shared services that the city and county have worked together on for a long time.
But aren't they running jum hatters?
I don't quite get what you mean.
It's I can't think but we're talking about what does that say in that?
You know, the city and county have been sharing services in water and sewer for decades. The Rivanna Water and Sewer Authority provides a great deal of the county's water supply and the city's water supply, and then, of course, supplies the University of Virginia. So, you know, it's something that they've worked on together. It's an example of a shared service that has worked rather well together as opposed to trying to do something separately, which wouldn't make sense in this case.
Well, when it was, I'm so sorry, Bob. You're going to have to keep going for yourself. I got something on my foot.
Oh, sorry.
Not your problem. But I was curious about what happens with the animals and everything that's that sort of breaking down.
Well, you know, I think what we're talking about is preserving things in the city and in the county, things that are related to the quality of life. And one of those is the natural areas and the wild life of the county. And there are a lot of us who like Albemarle with rural land. And the best way to preserve Albemarle with rural land is to have city and county cooperation about providing things that can go elsewhere and don't have to eat up that rural land. So we're looking, you know, the Charlottesville has just joined the County Soil and Water Conservation District, the Thomas Jefferson Water and Soil and Conservation District, which is a state entity that had excluded Charlottesville until a year or two ago. Now the city has two members on that board, which every so often has an election. Now, Albemarle Place, which is coming up on the corner of Hydraulic Road and U.S. 29 that is in the county, that's the northwest corner. The other three corners of Hydraulic and 29 are in the city. Albemarle Place is one of those areas that's about to be developed, and there's a huge issue that's brewing there regarding how the water and sewer connections are going to function, because there is not the capacity currently in place for this large Albemarle Place development, and there is not yet the agreement between the city and county about how that capacity is going to be expanded and extended, because, you know, this is a joint system, and it's revenue that is going to go to the county because it's in Albemarle. So the county has to look at, you know, how do we provide the expanded water and sewer for a large new development right here on the city border, at Albemarle Place on the northwest corner of Hydraulic and 29. So, you know, that's one of those issues that if you're going to talk about growth in Charlottesville and Albemarle, you're going to have to talk about cooperation, or else it's going to be very expensive for one locality or the other.
But it seems like that they have, you know, the water there with the Albemarle Place. How are we to trust that things in the future that need to be worked together will indeed work properly if this, the water and sewer that you already mentioned earlier, we're at this stage now where it's really, you know, 110% of it being, being used.
Well, this is the kind of thing that delays development, because development really can't go in place until there's some infrastructure to handle it. And that's the catharsis that Crozet is going through right now with Old Trail. Old Trail is being built out on the southwest side of Crozet, and yet the road network is not in place fully to handle the new development out there. It's so typical of large new development that it comes in and doesn't have the infrastructure in place to handle the development. And that's constantly an issue for the county government as they look at growth throughout the county. And that's an issue that, you know, if the city and county are going to cooperate, it's going to be better to solve those problems together than it is going to be for the county to try to work on it alone.
979-0919. Bob Gibson here in the studio as we talk about getting Charlottesville and Albemarle together, finding some things to save money. I'm curious, you know, we talked about housing, we talked about transportation. What are we, even if these things take place, how does it affect the taxing that I get, whether I live in the city or the county? Because the city, it seems to me, is notorious for not really cutting down any of the taxing. They just do something else with that money.
The city does what most local governments do, and that is when assessments for housing come in and they're 15% higher a year, they will drop the tax rate some to make up for some of the increase that each taxpayer gets in terms of the much higher value for the, you know, assessed value of their home. But they don't drop it down to where it would be a wash, to where they're not getting more money, which is really a backdoor tax increase. Even though the tax rate goes down, every time city and county residents are assessed, they get a backdoor tax increase because the rate almost never goes down as far as the assessment brings individuals' tax bills up. It's a painless way for the city and county to raise taxes. They get to say, oh, we're lowering the tax rate, when really what they're doing is they're taking in more revenue from taxpayers because of increased assessments. Charlottesville is not alone in that. Albemarle has a long history of that. Every locality around has a long history of that. Orange County, I think, just decided to drop the rate back to where it would be to allow the assessments not to have the increase of the effect of increasing taxes. And that's unusual. It's unusual that a locality drops the tax rate back to where the assessment would have had it.
I'm curious. We talked about all these groups and services today and what, you know, needs to be identified as something to combine together, things that might be done first. Are there any things that the city and the county are currently doing? I mean, we talked about the bus service.
That's a great cooperative effort that I think we're going to see a lot of movement on in the next year. I think the county will come into full partnership with the city and Charlottesville Transit, and there'll be expanded bus service in the county that will be more efficient. The headways will be shorter so that people will know that they can get on a bus. There'll be a system of knowing when the buses are going to come. In fact, some of the bus stops will tell you, as the Metro does in Washington, when the next bus or when the next train is coming, so that in Charlottesville you'll be able to know when your next bus is coming to a bus stop, the way a Metro rider knows in D.C. that, you know, 4 minutes and the next Orange Line train is going to be there. These are improvements that aren't coming free. The city and the county are going to subsidize the bus service more than they have in the past, and the federal government is still in the business of subsidizing bus service, but I don't think it will stay at the level that the federal government is subsidizing. So I think it's going to be something that the city and county are going to have to look at as a cost to provide better service. And, you know, the county's going to have to decide how much of that service it wants to share.
Now, in one of the articles that you have written, you said, we can share libraries but not schools.
Well, that's the way it's worked. We have a wonderful library system that is shared, but we have school systems that are largely separate and duplicative, and there are administrative costs that perhaps could be saved if certain things were merged, but I think we're a ways off from merger, so we'll just look at you know, what programs can be combined for the benefit of city and county students.
And you also wrote, we can share jails, but not police.
That's another touchy issue. Each locality views itself as in control of its own police department, and they aren't likely to go to a merged. In fact, the candidates in the city council race, while they're very high on city-county talks for cooperation, they're not very high on city-county talks for merging police. So I think that would be one of the sticking points, and will continue to be one of the sticking points.
What about the fact that the county is much more of a Republican area than the city of Charlottesville?
Tell that to George Allen, who the last two times he ran in the county, he lost to Jim Webb by a sizable margin, and to Chuck Robb.
I think you said that it was now purple.
It is purple.
Not
it's like the state of Virginia.
Not red.
You know, the purple voters are the ones who decide things. They're the independents in the middle who swing back and forth, and the you know, not the hard partisans of each party. So Albemarle is very much like Virginia now. It's a purple locality that will vote some Republicans and some Democrats into office.
And that's going to, you know, again, I feel like that I keep coming back to this one point, and I hope I'm not overlooking something that you told us there earlier, or that, you know, there's people out there listening who go, why does he keep asking that? But we have, assuming that things change, we'll have three new people on Charlottesville City Council.
Well, two new.
That's right.
Mayor
Brown
will likely.
Well, assuming that he doesn't lose to the independent.
Peter Kleeman has an uphill fight. And I can tell you why Peter Kleeman has an uphill fight. And it relates to what we're talking about. Peter Kleeman is a transportation planner and is a longtime foe of the Meadow Creek Parkway. Well, the Meadow Creek Parkway is an area of city-county cooperation that, were that agreement to fall apart, it would seriously affect city-county relations. So I don't think the city council is going to want to back out of the Meadow Creek Parkway at the last moment after, you know, more than 30 years of planning it.
Wouldn't be the first time, though, would it?
I think the only candidate at yesterday's convention who took an anti-parkway position was Jennifer McKeever. And, you know, Jennifer ran a good campaign, but I don't think she gained traction on that issue.
Well, again, I come back to, if we have those folks and the election is in November. So are we going to wait until then before guys actually sit down and do something?
I don't think so. I think, for one thing, the contact faith-based group that is putting pressure on the city and county to address transportation and affordable housing has required commitments to do something by August. So I think,
but what can they do about it?
I think we will see an affordable housing task force appointed by the city and county with university participation, and I think that's probably an important step in that process, because the city and county are going to have to look at many alternatives for providing and helping people find affordable housing in these localities, and where it goes and how it's paid for, and, you know, what tax breaks come in and which developers get what kind of offers and proffers. You know, all of this comes together, and it touches on the transportation issue. So I think a lot of talk is going to go on between now and November between the city and the county. I think we're not going to wait for elections.
But I'm curious as to whether or not the top of the list is fire and rescue.
Well, that is being studied now as well, because the city has put $2 million into starting its own fire rescue service with paid. It already has paid people who are providing fire and rescue, but it's going to be hiring another half dozen or more individuals and buying some new equipment, although they haven't exactly decided how to spend that money yet. So the city is moving in the direction of setting up its own fire and rescue. The county board voted with only one dissenting vote to put a new fire station on Pantops. Now, if the city and county were cooperating, perhaps that isn't where they would put it. So the city and county have to talk together if they're going to more efficiently cover the entire region for fire and rescue service.
I'm curious as to what, you know, down the road. So we start on this and something happens in November. Do you see that this topic as a whole and these two groups are actually going to be successful, more successful than they are fighting back and forth? Have we reached the stage now where things will actually get accomplished in a fairly quick and successful manner?
Nothing is quick in government. You know, government isn't in the efficiency business as much as it should be. You know, businesses have to be efficient to make a profit. Government exists, and it will not be quick. It'll be something that'll be studied for a long time. But I think there is more of an attitude of cooperation in both the city and the county, and less of an attitude of hunkering down into their own bunkers, which is where they've been in the past sometimes when some of these shared services are discussed. So I think there's a good chance that there'll be incremental progress made on the cooperation front.
All right, 11:57 here on the Wake Up Call with Bob Gibson from Charlottesville Daily Progress. Don't be going anywhere because Patrick Allen will be here at noon for Les Temps Perdue. The best of 80s and 90s alternative, no Cinderella, Milli Vanilli, or Debbie Gibson. But you will hear Red Hot Chili Peppers, Duran Duran, and Blondie. And requests are always welcome. Les Temps Perdue, brought to you in part by Plan 9 Music, only on WNRN. And it is 11:57 as you listen to WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar, Amherst, Lynchburg. As we finish up our conversation with Bob regarding getting Charlottesville and Albemarle together to put some services together, save some money.
You know, this is a bipartisan thing. I don't think anyone is looking at this as a Democratic thing or a Republican thing. And the Republican candidates in Albemarle, the current supervisors who are running for re-election, have been as interested in talking to the city as the Democratic candidates who've made it a point to talk about more cooperation. So I think it's something that's, you know, slowly coming to more fruition without being a partisan or a particularly contentious thing. But there are certain things that are very hard to share, and police and schools are two of them, and I think we're decades away from merger, if we see it at all.
All right. I want to thank you for coming in today.
Thank you. It's a fun topic, and you've got good listeners, and I enjoy your show.
Thank you very much. Next week, Reed Nagel from SNL will be here as we talk about their upcoming large anniversary and the role that they have played here in the Charlottesville-Albemarle area. Patrick's up next with Les Temps Perdue.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday, and by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or at wnrn.org. The wake-up call is produced by Michael Strickland. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the wake-up call, only on WNRN.